Karen Armstrong is one of the world's best-known writers on religion, the author of a string of bestsellers from A History of God to the memoir The Spiral Staircase. Armstrong's own spiritual path has been anything but easy. When she was 17, she tried to find meaning in her life by joining a convent and becoming a nun. But as she tells Anne Strangechamps, that didn't work out.
I found it almost impossible to pray, which was clearly something of a drawback for a nun. I would go in the morning to make my morning meditation, and my mind would immediately go skittering off down all kinds of blind alleys of distractions and worries and fantasies, or else sunk into a kind of torpor of boredom.
But it's not just that the religious vocation didn't quite take in you. Reading about your experience in that convent, it can be kind of a painful experience. I mean, for instance, when you suffered repeated fainting spells, your superiors, rather than take you to the doctor, chastised you. It sounds like a kind of brutal regime.
Well, this attitude towards my health was a very much Victorian attitude. Fainting was regarded as a weakness of will, attention-seeking, and we were supposed to be strong women, not wilting Victorian ladies. I don't think it occurred to anybody to take me to a doctor. But indeed, once I'd left the religious life, I did go to doctors who were unable to diagnose my condition properly. I had temporal lobe epilepsy, but for years went to psychiatrists, none of whom thought of doing an EEG.
Did you still believe in God after you left the order, or did it all seem like a pack of lies?
No, I wouldn't have said I thought it was a pack of lies. God just drifted slowly away out of my life. He had never been there very much. I had a rather naive and I think uneducated idea of God. I wasn't expecting visions and voices, but I was expecting some kind of encounter with a being outside myself. And when that didn't happen, after a few years outside the religious life in the secular world, I just stopped going to church, and my belief in God, such as it was, just drifted away.
One of the most fascinating parts of this book, The Spiral Staircase, to me is the section when you write about how you began to write the book that became The History of God, your big breakout bestseller, and a book that really changed your life in many ways. Where did the idea for that book come from?
I had been working on a book on the Crusades, a television series that was actually never screened, about the hostile relations between the three monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And it had been a very dispiriting and gloomy experience, really. And after the demise of the television series, I was walking up my little street with groceries. And I thought, well, you know, I've got to go do some kind of work. And maybe it would be good to do something a bit more positive. Instead of looking at what divides the three faiths, why not concentrate on something that connects them? And I thought, what about God? You know, they all believe in the same God. Why not write a history of the idea of that God? Once I started working on my God book, I was working alone. My television career had folded. There was nobody to make smart remarks to, or nobody to exclaim about the irrationality of some of these doctrines. And working in silence, my relationship with these texts slowly began to change. They began to enter my heart once clever, entertaining Karen had been put on the back burner.
What was it about silence, do you think, that made your encounter with religious texts fundamentally different than what it had been before?
At first, I resented the silence and the solitude. I thought, here I am, yet another career failure, shoved outside life, shoved out onto a limb in this peripheral position with nobody to talk to. But gradually, the silence started to become a dimension. It had its own texture that I could feel, and it began to orchestrate the words. It forced me to go into my inner world and relate the texts to myself in a way that I hadn't done before. And studying other traditions, this is very important, studying Judaism, Islam, Greek and Russian Orthodox Christianity, and finally Buddhism, gave me whole new perspectives on religion that I'd never had before in my very Catholic upbringing. And I began to see there was a lot out there that I could really relate to.
Did you begin to have some sort of encounter with the divine, some kind of direct mystical experience through spending time with these texts?
I'm not a mystic. What I find has happened is that occasionally when I'm reading these texts, I have little mini seconds of awe or wonder or ecstasy, almost just a soundless oh, how beautiful. Hmm. I don't see God anymore as a personality. And indeed, what I was discovering when I was doing the research for the history of God was that the most eminent Jews, Christians and Muslims had all pointed to the fact that our idea of God doesn't in any way measure up to the ineffable, indescribable, incomprehensible reality to itself. That there is, as Paul Tillich put it, a God beyond God. That our ideas of God are only meant to be a springboard to transcendence. And transcendence means going beyond, and it does go beyond concepts and doctrines and makes you rest in a kind of silence out there. And finding a silence within, this sacred realm of peace within, is also what people have called divine or nirvana or Brahman over the years.
It sounds as though the book you set out to write, the book that would debunk the God myth, gave you a version of God you could actually live with.
And indeed, it was picked up with great appetite by people in all three of the monotheistic religions who said, yes, this is our tradition, a tradition that has been lost in our more rational world when we rely too much on intellect and rationality, which is indispensable for medicine or mathematics or natural science, but no good for God any more than reason or extreme rationality can help us really understand the effect of a late Beethoven quartet upon us. We're talking about other, more intuitive forms of the mind. The great Muslim theologian Ibn al-Arabi, 12th century theologian, said that the chief religion organ is the creative imagination. Jean-Paul Sartre called the imagination the ability to think of what is not present. And so that is the chief religious faculty, as we endlessly try to envisage the eternally elusive divine.
Karen Armstrong, talking with Anne Strainchamps. Her many books include A History of God and the memoir The Spiral Staircase. Up next, will the internet become conscious? For to the best of our knowledge, I'm Jim Fleming. This hour, Higher Consciousness, is part of our special series, Meet Your Mind, a user's guide to the science of consciousness, brought to you by Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.